Welcome back to the Crooked Spine Show. Today's talk's about the myths and truths as we get older, as we age. User's talk discussion with seniors at Brookdale North Euclid. We talk about senility, is that an aging issue? Also, do seniors fall more, for one, too? Why do some seniors not isolate themselves, become shut-ins? Also, does daily routine help seniors stay healthy? Along with dehydration, is that a senior issue or can be an issue to other people too? Also, should seniors stop driving? Is that a problem where as we age, where at certain ages, should seniors stop driving and should we help our friends and family stop driving also? Right, other topics we discussed too, go to the show notes, has highlights of each of these topics for one too. Also, the show notes have links to other podcasts and videos. If not, go right to this show and I'll talk to you afterwards. Okay. What I listened to overall was, one thing is the myth of as we get older, we become more senile. Senile, by in Latin, what I was listening to, means old man. It's not true. It is a myth. A lot of it is, how do we train our brain on a daily basis, if possible, to get it to stay healthy? And it takes oxygen to the brain. And it takes movement to do that. So I'll talk about the movement in a second. We've talked about it in several workshops now, how movement helps your body. But when you get our brain to work properly by doing crossword puzzles, what else can you do for your brain to keep it healthy?
Reading.
Mm-hmm. Crossword puzzles, what else can we do? What else can we do?
Walk.
Walking is part of exercise. How do we get the brain to stay healthy without movement? So non-moving type of things, right? Mm-hmm. Crossword puzzles, even working with other people too, talking to people. Mm-hmm. Okay, sometimes watching TV, learning different things on TV, testing our brains. Mm-hmm. Okay, doing things we can with this to keep it strong. Part of it is when we're younger, for example, you're always learning because of your job, because of kids, because of what's going on. That's a way to keep things going, to pay your monthly bills, if you want to call it that. Okay, you always continue to learn when you're younger. The problem is as we get into retirement, sometimes what I've heard, again, I'm not retired yet, hopefully I will be soon, but it doesn't look like it. A lot is going to be, how do we, once we're there, okay, now that I've stopped doing the task I've done my whole life, maybe a carpenter, working in an office, or an attorney, or whatever it might be, that job is done, what's my next step? And sometimes that step becomes I'm going to relax in a rocking chair the rest of my life. The problem is, this needs that stimulation, that there's nerves to fire, so things can stay healthy up here. Without that stimulation, maybe visual, maybe crossword puzzles, maybe reading too, it doesn't allow it to stay strong. The nerve starts shutting down, so now your memory loss becomes more, shouldn't get to talk about short-term memory, becomes more evident, more frustrating sometimes also. So how do we get our bodies and our brains to stay strong so everything works together? You have to do things, like we talked about before, exercising as a way to keep our bodies healthy and our overall body healthy, but how do we get this to stay healthy too? The movement of the brain seeing and comprehending how to solve a crossword puzzle and how what we're reading and how to compute that in our brain to get that brain to use an image in your brain. Imagery for one too. Looking at things that way, even music also is a way to stimulate your brain to keep things moving so this stays strong. It also requires oxygen too, so going from visual and also reading or even watching movies or shows, and even cross puzzles too, also requires the oxygen from muscle movement to get the circulation to occur in your body to allow things to move better too. So again, exercise is always going back that I always do as a way to keep your brain stimulated and strong. Part of the issue too is how your hormones are balanced, talked about before too. When we become more stationary, non-moving, our bodies produce more cortisol, catecholamines, more stress hormones. So by moving more, we allow those hormones that affect your whole body, including your brain, to keep things moving, keep circulation moving, keep oxygen moving to your brain, keep those nerves turned on in your brain, allow your brain to work better and become more short-term, long-term memory, moving every time. And it takes work. It does not happen overnight. It doesn't happen passively. You have to set yourself a schedule, like my grandmother used to do, to where she'd do a crossword puzzle every day. In a newspaper, crossword puzzle every day. That was her thing. So that was her routine of doing it every day. She would exercise every day too. And how do you find out? Again, being here, it makes it easier. That point, this center allows the opportunity to have daily walks, correct, Still?
Yes.
Good, right? Okay. There's probably available, I'm not sure where, crossword puzzle you can get either from your health advocate, family member, or from the center itself too. Can you set yourself a daily regimen of, okay, in the morning, go for my walk, come home, do a crossword puzzle, have my lunch, then maybe do something else in the afternoon, keep my body and mind stimulated every day. The habit of doing things every day keeps your brain working like you were at my age, where you're still in a working environment, where it's easy to get stimulation in your body every day, in your mind and body, through your eyes, through your ears, and even through sensory touch too. But when you're not working, again, we talked about this, when you're not working, things kind of change, transition to more, sometimes an easier to become more passive with your learning, with your stimulation, and with your movement. This center allows you the opportunity to be more active, allows your body to stay physically strong, and by doing that, connection is, keeps your mind mentally strong too. Any questions about that? Nothing yet? Well, good. I'm gonna get my talk done today, finally. A lot of it is too, the myth of falling, not gonna call it a myth, but when people, the stereotype is, I'm gonna call it more of a stereotype, when we get older, there's more chance of falling. There's a higher risk. Is that a myth or is that true?
True.
True, right? Okay, it is a truth, not a myth. So you have to be careful of our environment. And what I mean by that is, can we make sure our environment is, we don't have slippery floors. Simple stuff, right? The center does a good job with that. People that are watching may not be at a center, understand that. Where you have loose rugs, where you have things around the house that may, can you can slip or fall on, especially when there's not a full light source around, in the dark especially. So keeping your environment, whatever your living environment might be, where it's more open, allows you to know where things are when you're awake, or when you're just waking up or just falling asleep. Myself, when I wake up in the morning, I did a talk with a hypnotherapist, posted as a podcast last week. He talked about the first half hour of your day is you're in a hypnotic state. Things are routine to you. You go to the bathroom, you brush your teeth, you go make your coffee. That's what I do every day. Okay? So you have your routine. So when you're at, when you're in that state, you're gonna want to have a normal where you get out of bed, put your shoes on, or just go what you want to do. At that point, you want to have that area clear every day before you go to bed, just thinking about it. Most people fall in the evening or in the morning when the sunlight is not up, or it's dimming out, or just coming up itself. Having an open environment like that prevents the falls that are the truth of causing injuries. How else can we prevent falls? What else can we do? To the audience, what do you guys think?
Where you're walking, so you'll say something, you might trip over.
Exactly, yeah. What else could we use? What can we do physically to prevent falls? What can we keep strong in our body? What are these things?
Your legs.
Your legs, your ankles, your feet. We've done talks, I think, was it at early this year about, or actually late last year, about feet and balance training for one, keep your body balanced and strong. Your balance comes from your whole body, yes, but a lot of it comes from when you're taking a step, keeping your feet, ankles, and legs strong, and relaxed and exercised on a daily basis again by doing your walking to allow your body to have that sensation when you walk where you know where your feet are, allow things not trip over your own feet, which would be embarrassing, right? I wouldn't tell somebody to trip my own feet. I wouldn't tell myself. But I would. You want to make sure you have that constant exercise, that strength in your legs. That's when your body stays, maintains its balance and its strength. By doing that, again, prevent falls, which is the truth of seniors sometimes. We can cause injuries like hip injuries or things like that, where it becomes more detrimental over time. Okay, what else can we do to prevent falls, you think? Can we use an apparatus like a cane, walker, or a wheelchair? Okay, if we need to, as a way to secure our mind and body if we're on an uneven ground. Here, you know where everything is, correct? If you leave here and go to the store, what happened is some kid might have, before you walked in the store, spilled his water or her water. Mm-hmm. What the heck? The grocery person hadn't cleaned it up yet, so you're on, and the floor looks pretty white, so you can't see it. You may catch yourself, make you want to fall. So be careful where you are. Allows your environment, having something like a cane or walk, allows you to protect yourself and let people know around you that you're not sometimes very stable. People right now are go, 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 right? They go 100 miles an hour. If you're going 50 miles an hour, what happens is they can bump you accidentally because you're not paying attention. What happens? They're distracted. They're sometimes on their phone. I'll do talks at schools. What I do purposely, my wife yells at me all the time for this, is I'll purposely walk straight into somebody when they're on their phone to let them know, hey, look, keep your head up. What are you doing? You know? I walk into them, let them know, hey, look, I'm here too, not just your world.
Yeah.
You know, but the problem is, and it happens often enough, people are on their phone, they walk into the street, they think light's green, it's red.
When they walk into manholes or things where they're doing construction, they don't think.
Yeah. Their mind's here on their phone, not on where their environment is. It's funny, but it's sad too. But last year I heard a story, a guy had posted something up where a girl was, I want to say in the Midwest, she was on her phone, walked right into a train track and ran over by a train.
Ooh.
Happens. And if you're on your phone and have your earbuds in too, listening to music or whatever you're watching, not only have you lost your visual sense, now you've lost your auditory sense too. So I like my wife yells at me all the time, I'll scream at somebody or bump into someone or beat my horn at someone and not paying attention. As a parent, as a father figure should, I guess. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Having fun, entertaining myself. Okay. With seniors, too, going back to our topic, because I can distract up what I want to talk about myself about, is isolation a myth, stereotype, or a truth for seniors?
It's
true. Isolation.
True.
True. Okay. Why do people in general isolate themselves?
Why do people what?
Isolate themselves. They isolate themselves from other people, from other environments. They stay in their room, for example. They don't go out. They don't meet with friends. They don't go to lunch together with other people. They don't do activities with other people.
Depression.
What's that?
Depression.
What causes depression?
Being by yourself, not with anybody. And maybe they're in there because they're embarrassed of having to use a cane, or I don't know, but they should.
Exactly.
They need to come out, and I always try to get everybody out.
Because they feel their disability sometimes in their mind is they're going to be slower than everybody else. They want to go for the walk in the morning, right? Your morning walk. But they don't want to be the last one to finish.
They can't write wait for them.
Exactly. They don't want to be the caboose of the group. But realize when people like Brian yourself, what's your name again? I'm sorry.
Gloria,
I'm a little senile today. I'm senior mode, apologize. Gloria, is that your encouragement, especially, and everyone else too, keeps people motivated.
Yeah. When we walk, I don't care who it is we're walking with, I'll push somebody if I have to. And if we have people with walkers, I just tell them, we're not going in a rush, take your pace.
No.
If there's somebody else ahead of us, they'll stop and they'll wait till we catch up.
Yeah. Because you guys aren't on a work schedule, you guys are going to work, right?
No.
There's nowhere to check in.
And you just don't know how even or uneven the sidewalks are.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
So we have to be very slow and cautious. I do have Alfie with me.
But you take your time. There's no rush.
Yeah, we take our time.
And because people are embarrassed, feel that peer pressure, they'll go, I'll just stay in today. Or they'll fake an injury, or they'll fake that they just don't feel good that day.
Right.
You know, a lot of it is by pushing people like that when they're uncomfortable, you're motivating them, I think, in my mind, to get to the next level where they now become more confident that they can do it on their own. Mm-hmm. It may go once or twice and feel uncomfortable, but after once or twice, go, hey, when's the next one?
Right.
Are you guys going tomorrow? I want to go. They want to see that turn and then that confidence build, so they feel that now they're part of the group, part of the activity, can do it every time with them. And that happens to any senior, my age, or even younger, if it happens all the time.
Yeah.
Or if you can't hear very well, what happens is you go to a group setting and you don't feel like you're part of the group because you can't hear what someone's saying. Mm-hmm. So you're not communicating as well as they would like you to communicate.
Right.
So you want to speak up going, hey, can you talk louder for me? Can you slow it down? I can't hear you very well. That can be an issue also too. You know, even with seeing things too. So you gotta be very open to where, hey, how's your vision today? What's, can I make this closer or make it louder for you too if you have hearing issues? Is this a good comfort level for you? I've had to learn my same thing. I have patients that are seniors, younger, older, and Joanne, she's been a patient probably about 10 years now. She's a phenomenal woman, but some days she's still a little bit blue. And I'll see you once a week with her friend Dottie, and she'll go, I didn't feel like exercising last week. I feel like I just wasn't going to exercise. I'm like, Joanne, what did I do last time? She goes, okay, you yelled at me last time. I'm going to yell at you again. I want you, because that's how she motivates. So where I'm not going to give her a reason why she can't. Like I said, physically you're fine. Mentally you're fine. No medical conditions. Do it because I asked you, not because you want to do it. I said, you can be mad at me if you want. Be mad at me if you want. I'm okay with that. But I want you feeling good because you're going to do something to feel good.
Right.
I always talk about Rachel too. I've had her patient probably about 12 years ago. I still see her once in the blue moon. She came in, severe leg pain, walker, could barely walk, back pain severe. Took x-rays, her x-rays were negative. I said, why are you walking, Rachel? And she has a thick hispanic accent. She goes, my doctor said if I walk, if it hurts, don't walk. I said, well, Rachel, your x-rays are fine. If you don't walk, you're going to go from a walker to a wheelchair. You have to have someone take care of you, which I knew she didn't want to do. She started yelling at me in Spanish. I'm like, I know what she was saying, but it wasn't good words. It was bad words. I said, it's up to you. I don't care if you yell at me. But my back feels good. I walk every day. She goes, so she started walking 5 minutes a day with her walker. And 10 minutes a day. And then just with a cane, she come with just a cane. And that attitude changed too. Hey, I can do this. And by doing it, it felt good to her. Now she walks, as I heard, 45 minutes a day with no cane, no walker.
Wow.
But took her time to realize my medical doctor, even though I had best intentions, it was hurting her progress of getting better physically and mentally.
Wow.
You know, and then she still laughs, and she laughs and smiles now versus where she was grouchy before. So realize when we don't move, we don't exercise, our mindset changes also. We become more grouchy, more short-tempered, more less positive, more self, if you want to call it.
If you're so upset with yourself that you take it on everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you regret not doing things, so everyone becomes your target to make yourself feel better.
Mm-hmm.
Your attitude is here. To get here to a higher level of attitude, you're going to upset somebody else to get on the same page. So we're all going to be grouchy together, right? That sounds like so much fun. No. So like, we go back to Joanne too. I push her all the time to keep moving around and keep moving. It's like you guys here too. You guys are a group of people. Push each other to their limits and see if that attitude changes. It's for everybody. I have patients my age too, same thing. They don't want to work out. They don't want to feel good. They don't want to do things to feel good. Once they start doing the things I ask them to do at home, just home, they go, wow, that felt better for me. I want to do this now. I'm like, see that change? Boom, next level. What else can you do? So when you see that change in their mind, that isolation, that attitude change, then feed that fire. Remember that old rule of 6 degrees of separation, 6 degrees of separation? Remember that?
Uh-huh.
Is wherever you're associated with, six people around you, that you're getting the same level of competency and same level of attitude also. Same everything. So when you're around good people, helps motivate you, keep you strong and motivated and healthy. When we're around people that bring us down, it's gonna do the same thing to you. I do my talks to the schools, the high schools and things like that, I go, you can hang out with losers, you're gonna be a loser.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fact. So it's what you wanna do. But again, having the center here allows you, Gloria Bryan especially, to see the benefit of who I can go to when not having a good day, feeling down, and they'll keep me updated. They'll keep me my attitude positive, even though I'm making it my best day of the year. Back in my card, it says too. It says it's not the best day of your life. Just pretend.
It's what?
It's not the best day of your life. Just pretend.
Oh,
pretend. Why not? When you think something is positive or negative, does it affect how you feel about it?
Yeah.
So by thinking and starting your day in a positive way, a positive mindset, again, any age, allows you to have a more positive perspective throughout the day. That's why, for one thing, for the last probably say at least 10, 12 years, I have not watched the news. What's on the news? Last night's bad car crash, last night's robbery, last night's manslaughter or something. Why would I want to watch that stuff? Again, it happened, I feel sorry for the people, but how do I make myself positive to people around me? I can affect them in a positive way. You know, I have good days and bad days too. I'm not a senior, obviously, but I want to make sure I show that, pretend if I'm having a bad day, to make other people's days better. That's my job. Sorry. I love what I do. All right. But by going back to exercising too, that exercise allows your body to produce those hormones in your body and body chemistry to be in a positive mindset. By having a morning walk and just getting out there allows that chemistry in your body, besides your mindset already, to feed that mindset to make your day better here versus starting your day here. My best days, bless you, are the days where I start working with my the workout. I go to the gym. At home, I'll get 10 things my wife wants me to do. I'm like, no, I'm going to go to the gym first. Not that I come back and do these things, because I'm just going to take the paper and just throw it away. And I get more trouble. The couch is comfortable, but I don't like the couch every night. Not the best thing out there. So I want to make sure if I start my mindset, get my body's chemistry, my blood pumping, along with my attitude up here. So not only do I go for my gym every morning if I can, also listen to something positive in my head, in my earbuds. At that point, I'm listening to it, so I change my mindset and my body chemistry together. So I have a foundation to start my day with, to be positive with you guys, versus start like, oh, dang, can't believe it happened to me. So at that point, you feed off other people around you. By the end of the day, I might be a little bit done at the end of the day. So I start with that fuel to push other people with too. Any questions about that? Nothing? Okay. Another thing we talked about too, what I was listening to, a lot of it is, how do we make sure our bodies and minds work together on a daily basis? Not only should we exercise, walk, even do light weights if we can, even think about doing well things well, but how do we also push our body so we do enough things to keep things strong? I'm working on the mind thing with her, so we're doing mind training today.
Mind's not working. After this, good.
This is she coming?
Yeah. No, we got about 15 minutes. That's okay. Get on schedule, I know. So by doing things on a routine basis, by doing walks every day, by doing home, if you want to call word puzzles or reading too at home, in your room, at that point allows you to have a routine of doing that every day, keeps this strong, keeps your body strong, so we prevent falls, right? What else can we do food-wise to make our bodies and our minds stay strong as a senior? What should we focus on in our foods when we eat to make sure our mind and body stay strong?
Vegetables,
good. What else?
Fruit,
good. What else?
Healthy.
Eat healthy. What does healthy mean, though? Because some people think healthy is eating at McDonald's every day. Good, I'm glad you laughed. Wasn't just me.
A good balanced diet.
But what is a balanced diet that you should focus on? How many calories as a senior should you be eating versus someone my age? I should eat maybe about 2,000 calories a day, maybe 2,500 calories a day. How many should we eat beyond?
There we go.
How many as a senior? Oh, sorry about that. As a senior, what do you think our calorie intake should be a day? How do you make an equation of that?
About 1,700 maybe.
Maybe 1,500. Yeah, that's fine. If you're an active senior, do your walks, move around, move things around too, and get your exercise in. 1,500 calories a day, 1,500 is a good amount. 700 is fine too. But again, calories means different things for different people. So vegetables, fruits, phenomenal. How about protein?
Protein.
Okay, what type of protein? What do you think?
Meat.
What kind of meats?
Depending on the meal.
That's all it is, right? So how do you pick from the meal what's good for you for your protein? Should you have a hamburger every day?
No.
Not every day, probably. Maybe once a week. I can't eat meat at all, so I'm holding off on red meat, period. But for all, is how do you keep your body strong inside by having the right energy from fruits, from vegetables, from the right proteins, chickens, fish, even what are good proteins besides meats? Beans? Broccoli?
Great protein. Eggs? Egg whites especially are really good.
Because one of the killers of seniors, men and women combined, balanced 50-50, is heart attacks. I was reading about too. How to keep our bodies strong and give the right nutrients to prevent heart attacks beyond everything else. More fruits, more vegetables, more nuts, more beans, more broccoli, things like that that have high protein, some fat too, to allow your body to push everything through naturally versus cholesterol, things like red meats, pork, fried foods that can cause more high cholesterol in your body to allow it to clog your arteries easier, as I have found personally. So how do we focus now as we're getting older to see that, okay, how do I do enough for my body physically, mentally, and what I eat to make sure everything stays at a healthy amount? And not people say calories, right? Calories per day. People count chips as calories per day. Pretzels as calories per day. That's not good for you. You may want to put it on top and over there, even cake or sugars too. Okay, but you have to be careful because sometimes those things will hurt you because feel like you're eating something but doesn't give any nutrients to your body. The nutrients is what you want to keep your body strong inside, not just outside. Okay, any questions about that? How about hydration? Do seniors become more or less dehydrated as we get older?
More.
More dehydrated, right? Where our body has less water inside of it. Why do seniors, which is common to happen, not drink enough water?
I don't know. Plain old lazy.
That's humans in general. Humans are lazy in general. But because you want to go to the bathroom as often. You don't drink enough water.
Are they scared of being incontinent?
Yes.
So that's the fear.
Incontinence.
So they won't drink as much liquid?
Exactly.
It plays a big part, huh?
Huge part.
Wow.
So if you're a senior and want to drink water more and stay hydrated, when should you drink water? Maybe more in the morning, where you can go to the bathroom, and maybe nothing after 5 o'clock.
Stop drinking liquids after.
So you don't have to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night.
Wow.
Where more common to fall or cause injuries, and again, lack of sleep too. So a lot of it is planning at, and what caused dehydration besides not drinking enough water? Drinking too much caffeine? Who doesn't like coffee? Yeah, no one raised their hand. I tried drinking coffee probably, I did drink for about a month, I drink maybe a cup a day now.
That's true. I drink it only for breakfast. That's
there you go.
The rest of the day, coffee's offered, fine.
Breakfast.
Everyone's different. But some people have become a habit of drinking coffee every day.
Right.
So you need that coffee physically and mentally to feel something, I don't know. So that point, it dehydrates your body also.
Really?
Yes. Because the caffeine from coffee is a diuretic to make you want to go to the bathroom more. Along with sugars too. Sugars are diuretics. Glory to make you want to go to the bathroom too. So when you eat something that's sugary, at that point it dehydrates your body. Medications, do medications cause you to the bathroom or cause you to the bathroom less? They cause you sometimes less. Medications they cause problems with your iron deficiency to make you more constipated. To realize you have to drink enough water and take enough sometimes other things too to keep yourself regular. So for now what happens is your organs don't function as well, your intestines don't function as well, it can cause problems with urinary tract infections, bladder infections, kidney infections and liver infections. Your body becomes more toxic. So you want to make sure you go in the bathroom enough throughout the day. Keep your body healthy from the inside out. Any questions about that? All right, so a lot of it is, we talked about today, I'm going to go a little bit, is how do you keep your body healthy physically, mentally, and also activity-wise too. Part we talked about too is activities is being with other people to prevent isolation. Isolation we talked about too can cause depression, even anxiety. If you start getting those feelings when we're having, if we're isolated from one too, do we move more or move less when we're stressed? Do we move more or less when we're anxious or depressed? What do you think?
Less.
Our body tells us when we're under stress to become more still. Mm-hmm. If we move, it causes more pain in our mind, so move less. Even though it doesn't fix the stress, it doesn't cause the stress in our mind to increase even more. So we have to fight that feeling. It's probably a song or something. Fight that something feeling. I don't know. We got the song. At that point, fight that feeling to get our body to move more, to decrease our stress by becoming more active, even by ourselves or somebody else, allowing yourself to get through that uncomfortable zone, then from there, get our bodies to get healthier. Get healthy and stay healthy is not comfortable all the time. It's not easy. We all wake up some days and go like, I wish I could just stay in bed all day. You know, but I know Brian would knock my door when we get up for the walk or something going on. I know that they're my good intentions, but they'd be great days to sleep in. All day. The problem is you do that one day, the next day it's usually the same thing.
Yeah.
The habit of doing something and the habit of not doing something is the same thing in your mind. So if you start doing a routine, feel uncomfortable, I tell my patients, great, you're on the right track. You want to feel uncomfortable, then at that point it becomes a routine of going. So what I ask them, hey, you missed yesterday, how did you feel when you missed your walk yesterday? I felt bad, I felt horrible, oh, I missed it. That's a good feeling, you feel regret because you didn't make it. You felt bad. Good, because that tells me that's your new habit of going all the time. Make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Or eating right. Or doing your routine in your room, wherever it might be, keep your balance exercise going for your feet and your legs. Things keep moving, or doing your crossword puzzle every day. You know, at that point, I'd call my grandma was alive, I'd call her every Tuesday about 11 o'clock and go, how you doing today? Crossword puzzle, exercises, talk to so-and-so. Make sure those things were crossed off the list so she was doing her routine. In my mind, she was staying healthy. You know, but having those routines down allows you to go, at that point, you're even though it's, you don't think about it, this is staying healthy, prevents senility. As we all, it happens. At that point, our body stays healthy and our body inside stays healthy. Any questions about that? Questions? Sure. All right. But it takes everything. And again, wherever you are, right? At that point, wherever you, when we talk about exercise, you can do in a wheelchair, with a cane, with a walker, against the wall, in a chair itself, or even in bed too. Move your body when you first get up. You first get up, if you don't go to the bathroom right away, move your feet, move your legs, move your hands, move your wrists, even tapping too, even clapping your hands also, not to wake someone up next door, just enough so you feel that vibration that wakes up your nerves, okay, your body becomes stimulated, so you start producing serotonin endorphins, circulation, get your body thinking and moving blood flow to the head and to the body. Just do simple even tapping on the floor too, allows things to wake up and move things around. Then once we do our walk in the morning, have our breakfast, do our crossword puzzle, talk to our friends, do the activity, then you can take a nap every day. You know? And nothing wrong with naps. If you can, and blessed if you can.
It feels good.
It feels fun. I try to take one every day myself. For the last 10 years, I've tried to take one every day. And I'll be with my wife someday, I'm going to be over there, what do you do? It's nap time. That's my routine. You know? But that gives me the quick boost. That when I come out, I'm good for the afternoon. That's just me. That's how I work. I'm lucky I can do that. If I can't, I get very grouchy. Sad, very grouchy. I don't have my nap in. So again, but again, sometimes before I used to do is come back after my nap to have a cup of coffee, now I have a cup of tea. Even myself, I throw myself drinking enough water here every day. Because I take some medications also, I have to take it now. At that point, drink enough water to keep my body good, keep myself stimulated. All right, any questions at all? Is any other myth you think that people think are a myth of a senior that I missed? Can seniors still drive?
Some can,
right?
That stays here and she has a friend, and I don't think I'd get in the car with her, but she's 94.
Yeah.
And she still drives, but it scares me. The reaction time can't.
It's exciting. It's an exciting drive.
It's great for her, still drive.
Exciting drive.
It's exciting, but look out for the other
side. Yeah. You go right through a stop, so I'm like, wasn't even there. that's the thing, and you can check with people here too. There's ways to test if your vision and your hearing and reflexes are good enough to maintain your license, not for you, but people around you. Because I worry about when someone goes through a crosswalk. And school's gotten out, is if that person, maybe a senior or not, if they're not conscious of what's going on, they may run through the stop sign, hit somebody, you know, or hit another car for one too. It's making sure and being aware of, am I safe for the road as a senior? Can I test myself to make sure even though I want to drive, I may not be safe for me or people around me? That's what I worry about. And some seniors I know, actually there's certain type of seniors that they cause accidents. That's a myth. Seniors do not cause accidents, because what happens, seniors usually drive during the day, and they're usually home by the evening. And they drive slower than the average person. So at that point, they're safer than someone that like is rushing to work, who leaves work after dark and is tired at night too on a Friday night. They're more prone for an accident to someone who drives more during daylight hours. At more of a normal speed limit for them. All right? But again, some people are beyond that range of safe, and they're at an age where they're still driving because no one's checked their driver's license or no one's asked, and their driving experience with them is too exciting. You gotta be careful of that range too. That's the last thing I remember that I hear. So anything other myths you can remember? Nothing? So the takeaway is, how do we have a routine of doing our walks or exercises, maybe with other, if possible, with other people? At that point, allow the brain to get the oxygen and the hormonal changes to keep your body healthy and strong. Do your crossroads, do your reading 412. At that point, keep your mind healthy by doing things that it computate and work every day, and it has to be every day. And eat good enough foods to have 1,500 calories a day of good protein, good vegetables and fruits. Allow your body to stay healthy inside out. Prevent internal issues as you get older, such as heart attacks, liver problems, kidney problems, and also urinary tract issues too. Okay? Make sure we drink enough water. Keep our body moving inside so you go to the bathroom enough too. Those are my takeaways overall. And if you're still driving, good for you. Just make sure you're safe. For people around you, I guess. Anything else? That's it for me today. All right, I'll be back next month again too. I'll see what the center wants me to talk about. But thing is can you keep yourself routinely going with other people? That point, like this group is already too, motivate each other to keep things who are not at your level, get them to come up to. Yeah, get them motivated.
Get them out there from their bedroom. Listen to talks.
That's
like
all
yours.
It is. And doing it often enough so when they're uncomfortable, over time become more comfortable. I'd rather push someone to tell me, hey, look, stop bothering me, versus someone going, okay, I'll do it, because you asked me to. I go, it doesn't matter to me. My opposite tell them my back feels good enough to exercise, you don't want to. My back feels great. But I leave it up to them, making them accountable over time, but sometimes you have to hold their hand, as you know, to get them to get motivated themselves. Hey, it doesn't matter if you're senior or not. All right, anything else?
No.
I'm going to pick up my puppy, see how she's doing. Every generation, every age group has stereotypes. We discussed today with these seniors how to prevent falls, how to prevent isolation, how to prevent dehydration, staying healthy overall, and also how to allow ourselves to drive to safe age and also vision so people around us are safe too. All right, so go to the show notes, go to each topic individually. Also, show notes has links again to our Facebook page, leave comments, other talks too, our other workshops for one also. At that point, understand that you need to stay healthy by learning what works best for you and people around you. So have a great week, and we'll see you next one.